You feeling it over there?
Say what now?
I said he's feeling it over there.
I am.
Apparently.
Amber chimed in too. Like, we're Team Dream in this household. This is a pro Dream household.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Here's a man of his word. He said he was going to win the Royal Rumble, and you did, Hulk Hogan.
Well, you know me, Gene. When I told you it was time for me and all my Hulkamaniacs to unite, brother, that's exactly what we did.
Y'all ready for this?
I just wanted to say that the beating Ric Flair just gave my father is nothing compared to what Triple H, my husband, is going to give 29 other men in the Royal Rumble. And Triple H is going to destroy Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What? 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 You're going to flap your gums about what Triple H is going to do to me?
Yeah.
Over the top rope? 29 people?
By virtue of winning the Royal Rumble, we have a brand new World Wrestling Federation champion.
I'm going to tell y'all with a tear in my eye. This
Woo!
Is the greatest moment in my life. When you walk around this world and you tell everybody you're number one, the only way you get to stay number one is to be number one. And this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one when you are the king of the WWF. You rule the world.
Funkadelic and I gotcha. Hard enough that I could chew a whole back of ride. To an avenue, to an off street and off block. To turn around and do the same damn thing to a soloist. Punch Reggie Noble's piss. I crushed the whole brain frame. Cause you couldn't maintain the funk. The heavy rap style for lunch, chump. Cause 92, I take a whole crew. Give them a put to the book. Not falling, then go too loose. I'll show you what type of stuff I'm on. You can't pump or slip it. Because I was born with it. The Funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, you pin. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way it's down, pump, pump it on your back, chump. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot.
The time is here. Greetings and salutations. Salutations and greetings. And as the great poet lawyer Reggie Noble told us, it is time for some action. And we are getting ready to rumble. Or should I say getting ready to rumble. Welcome to the latest, greatest, and up-to-date edition of Pod is War. I'm not even sure what I said right there, but I hope it made sense. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your head, you shall. Please and thank you, and please use your fingers and everything else to get yourselves over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. We've got the old school designs out there. We've also got some really cool new designs out there for you as well, like something that you can actually wear out and be in public and be fashionable and coordinated and all that good stuff. Plus, Pro Wrestling Tees right now is actually running a special. So if you act right now, not now, but right now, you can get 15% off at Pro Wrestling Tees. So if you've always been saying to yourself, man, I really want one of those Chair Shot t-shirts, man, but I don't know if I'm really going to be able to afford it. Well, you don't have to worry about that at this particular point in time, because you can get 15% off right now. So run your asses to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, right? TheChairShot.com is not just a website. It is also a movement. Anywho, that being said, you know me, for Platt. And as always, I'm joined by the one, the only, my esteemed colleague, my brother from another mother, my pigment-challenged sibling, Mr. Andrew Snowflake Balls Blaz.
Hey, you know, just like Larry Bird said in Space Jam, I'm not white, I'm clear. So, let's get over that. Like, you can't be clear and have pigment to begin with. So, I'm good with that. We got that jump shot nowadays. It's don't you worry. Tony Kukoc saved us. Larry Bird saved us. It's a clear thing. How you doing, buddy?
Well, let's be clear. You're white. And Chef Curry is the greatest shooter of all time.
Let's be clear. I like that.
But honestly, though, man, I'm doing fantastically well and getting better. This is one of my favorite times of the year. We're getting ready to go into the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which we're going to talk about that momentarily, but that's neither here nor there. And that officially puts us on the road to WrestleMania. And if you're a wrestling fan, this is your Mecca. This is your summit. This is your Christmas. This is your Hanukkah. This is your Kwanzaa. This is your 4th of July. This is your Super Bowl. This is your World Series. All wrapped into one bundle, and I'm excited about the path that we currently travel.
Oh, so it's a bundle, kind of like what you were telling people to do at ProWrestlingTees.com with that 15% off flash sale that they're doing this weekend or today or however that works, right? Bundle the wonderful Chair Shot shirts with stuff, right?
Pop. Cheap pop, but pop nonetheless. I can dig it again, man. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, and please. And we would be remiss if we didn't bring up the one, the only, the moderator, the commissioner of ChairShot, sitting in his panic room with this hood on, looking like a cross between Jodie Foster and Forrest Whitaker. I don't even know how that's possible, but it's happening. Put your hands together and show your love for the one, the only, Mr. PC Tunney. Tiny with the hoodie.
Good evening, gentlemen.
What are you from Transylvania now?
No, I
You should have went more. Forrest Whitaker on that.
You want to do it again? Ahoy, ahoy.
No, it should have been like Forrest Whitaker, baby, like when Key and Peele did, like a gaga. Hey, goo goo gaga. Make one of your eyes a little lazier than the other one. Have fun with it. Come on.
It's a podcast, so they can't see his eyes, okay?
But you can hear lazy.
How odd words. You can't, though. You can't.
Have you watched Raw? You can hear lazy.
Well, maybe from your commentary they can hear lazy, but that's neither here nor there.
No. Mine is disinterested malaise, not lazy. They're similar. Malaise, you know, lays, that's kind of like potato chips, lazy. I get it. There's a lot of wordplay that you can go there. But no. No, you stop that, bastard.
Okay, I appreciate you trying to white-splain to me the definition of lazy. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'm going to take this shot of one, and we'll get this podcast started.
White-splain lazy? I didn't know that there was, like, racial divide on how to define
lazy.
Hold on now.
Let me sit you down here now, son. Now, listen to me here, all right? You hear what I'm saying now, here now? All right, now you got it. Okay.
Thanks, Jerry Jones. We needed that. Thank you a whole lot.
Nice. Now, pardon me for a second. I pray you two can be entertaining for about 45 seconds while I take out of Kettle One. So go for it.
You better be praying hard to Jesus, Allah, Buddha, and all of them at the same time, because it's not necessarily entertaining. Tony, you got anything funny to say?
Yeah, you need 45 seconds to take a shot.
Well, he needs 45 seconds for other things too, so this is just slow for him.
Well, I mean, not necessarily entertaining, but it served its purpose. It gave me an opportunity to take my shot, and then now we shall go from there.
You know, Tunny rhymes with funny, and it also rhymes with money, so you don't diss PC.
Yeah, he's got one out of the three.
That was horrible. I didn't even like cool. that. I didn't even like that.
Yeah. What?
You did, so sad.
Okay, that's the last time I try to put you over in any kind of capacity.
Yeah, I don't need that's okay.
Whatever. Play the first song, music, intro, whatever we got.
Oh, look I rejected his praises and now he's belittling me.
I know, I'm mad now. Yeah. It's not belittling. That's just cutting to the chase. No, he threw it.
Even when he tries to be kind, it's just not kind. It's just smug and condescending. Like, that's just
mean.
You are.
Y'all just mean, inconsiderate, churlish people.
It's weird.
Go to the first question.
No, it's weird because when we first started back, man, you were so clean shaven and excited and you had bouncing energy. And now you look like Tony Schiavone snowed in a cabin in the woods somewhere.
That was the look. How did you know? I was going for that exactly. This is the WCW pay-per-view, Cabin in the Woods. How are you doing? It's Tony Schiavone Medusa on her knees. That's all it is. Tony Schiavone be so happy.
Well, the furry hair and the wood paneling kind of gave it away. I'm not going to lie to you.
Are we talking about my van or the wall?
Apparently both.
Go to the first question. I'm incriminating myself. Go away. No, we need a... Words, go.
All right, audience, we have plaid and balls right where we want them, at the brink of insanity. Here we go.
I know you don't believe that I can beat Brock.
I don't believe in fairy tales.
But I believe. And the Balor Club believes. And at the Royal Rumble, I will defeat
Brock!
And I will reclaim my Universal Championship.
Gentlemen, Finn believes. Do you believe in Finn?
You know what? PC, balls, and we talked about this last week. that just sounds funny.
Well, hold on. Can I interject for a moment before you get going? And it's completely related because Raleigh Fingers and Robin Yount and Paul Molitor had their numbers retired for the Brewers, okay? And so they would put the names in the outfield, you know, in a row, and there was a couple other guys. And it always started out Yount, Fingers, Molitor. So they... So they had to move Raleigh to one end or the other.
Yes, yes, they did. Okay. I see where you were going with that. I got it.
That's hilarious, by the way. And shout out to Robin Yount, by the way, also, man. My first ever baseball glove that I got from my mother, it was autographed by Robin Yount. And at the time, you know, I was a young kid. I didn't know who the bloody hell Robin Yount was. And then I looked him up and I saw, oh, he was this Hall of Fame for the Brewers. So shout out to Robin Yount.
Two-time MVP, once as an outfielder, once as an infielder, also well over 3,000 hits.
Yeah, he was a bad melon farmer. I'd actually put him in front of Molitor, but, you know, Molitor gets all the praise and the sexiness because I think he was on one of those Blue Jay teams that won a World Series as well, if I'm not mistaken, with my man Tito Gaston. You know, black managers, we got to stay together.
I'm glad you know these things, because it looks like PC may have stepped away for a half second, and I'm baseball challenged.
Well, you're challenged in general, but that's neither.
Wow! You know, that's rude. I took the helmet off for this, because my headset can't get over top of it.
I'm just saying, man.
You're just calling me out on an audio podcast like that? Like, you know, that's rude.
I kind of think that's what the people want, though.
What happened to the good guy thing? Wasn't that like a New Year's resolution?
I still love you.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. God fucking.
Getting back to the topic here, though.
Oh, we had a topic, didn't we? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Andrew,
all the time. Next topic.
Here's a topic. I talked about this a lot last week, that I went back and forth and back about whether or not I thought that Finn actually had a shot here in this predicament. And you know something? Between Braun coming out during their whole whatever they were doing, between the if Vince tried to bury Finn and how strong Finn looked versus both Braun and Brock, you know what? I'm probably getting worked here. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably worked. But you know what? My cry, two tears in a bucket, fuck it. I'm calling it. We're going to see the demon at Mania. I mean, at Rumble, I beg your pardon. And the demon's going over the beast. Because kayfabe-wise, speaking from a kayfabe perspective, if I'm facing the beast, wouldn't I want to bring out the demon? And again, I'm probably getting worked here, but I think we get some kind of schmaz, screwy finish. Hijinks, shenanigans are going to ensue. But you know what? I think that we're going to get Finn Bálor, the demon, going over the beast at Rumble. And if I'm wrong, who cares? It's all simulated combat anyway, so fuck it. I'm going out there on that limb.
That's a good way to cover yourself.
Exactly.
You're just like, I flipped the coin. They're going to pick one of them. Fuck it. Like, you know.
I care. Oh, what the fuck? I never cared.
Yeah, I didn't care. Who cares? It's simulated anyway. Who cares? I knew Brock wasn't going to lose.
Oh, Jesus. But no, yeah, I think you're getting worked a little bit with the angle. Because, yeah, the whole David versus Goliath, he's little. Vince doesn't believe in him. Plus, there's even that other extra wrinkle that I know you didn't mention, but you probably saw it, was that Finn said it on Twitter or whatever, some kind of social media, that like he thinks he uses the demon as a crutch. So he's going to not use the demon for the Brock match, and he's going to just face him as the man, Finn Bálor. And...
Oh, well, then I totally changed my opinion. Brock's going over.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I thought you saw it and you were just working that up to the work.
No, because... I honestly didn't see that. Like, oh. No demon, no tiki, no laundry.
Eric Bischoff, motherfucker. Yeah. but still, yeah. So if it was the demon, I think that was my argument last week, too. If he did the demon, I could see the demon winning. I can't see Finn winning, because they like to make him seem like this extraordinary man that can do extraordinary things, but who has he beaten as the man? Like, Baron Corbin? He smashed him as the demon. Really, well, and Corbin beat him
Roman
as the man.
Reigns. There is Seth Rollins.
And that's right when he came up, basically. And then since his injury,
he
lost to Rollins like
Roman
times.
Reigns and Seth Rollins.
You just beat John Cena Layfield.
Qua?
You just beat John Cena Layfield.
But oh, well, see, well, how much does that really carry? Oh no, I'm joking. But yes, he beat Jinder. He beat Cena. They don't give him the big wins when he's the man and not the demon. Like, I think his pay-per-view record is pretty shitty when he's not the demon. So, I can't see Brock losing this one. And it's going to set up for something. I forget if it was you, PC, or Greg that brought up something cute, which I like the cute fantasy book angle. So, Chris, do you think this is possible? He loses to Brock as the dude, and then... when the Rumble hits, his music hits, and he comes out as the demon and wins the Rumble.
No, I don't see that happening, and we'll get to that when we get to our actual Rumble predictions, but I don't see that happening.
See if it was plausible.
If anything, I could see maybe they spin off a program between Finn and Braun at Mania, because they're clearly not ready to put the title on Braun for whatever reason. So maybe that's where we go at Mania. But yeah, I can't see him losing to Brock and then coming back out in the Rumble and winning. I just don't see that happening. And I feel like such a douchebag, because I built up all of that and I said all those words to build up the fact that I thought Finn was going to go over. And then I was just so dissuaded when you said, well, he's not pulling out the demon. So yeah. I just feel like a bag right now.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we're all getting worked, and it's like a Jericho thing where he puts out misleading information on social media, and then he'll come out as like the super double demon somehow and just like kill everybody.
No, and like I said, man, if we're talking at this from a kayfabe perspective, if you're facing the beast, why wouldn't you want to bring out the demon? And I'm glad, though, that he probably threw that out there to kind of cover his ass so we won't be expecting the demon. So, okay, fair enough. But if, you know, kayfabe, if I'm facing the beast, I'm bringing out the demon, especially considering the demon is undefeated. Like, so that doesn't make much sense. And it makes him look like an ass clown.
Agreed.
But they've done a good job of pumping him up and making us think that he has a shot. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I've been worked. But that's okay. That's good. I'm a fan, so that's cool. I'm not mad at that.
I'm glad you like it.
And here we go.
I just had to throw that one out there. I knew exactly how that came off and how you take it. It was perfect. Let's go to the second question. No chance in hell.
Let's see how many episodes in a row we can get Platt to, you know, interject himself into the Vince McMahon character. Yeah.
Well, he's on TV every week, so that should help.
And that's the basis of the theme here for question number two is Vince is back and he's back on television. And it seemed like he came out that first time and everybody's like, wow, he looks old. He shouldn't do it anymore. And he went, what? They said I'm old? I shouldn't do it anymore? Oh, I'm going to be there every week. And sure enough, if he isn't, and sure enough, if ratings aren't back up. And I'm wondering if he isn't possibly one of the greatest superstars of all time in his character. You know, the ability to drive storylines. It looked kind of weak for me on SmackDown tonight. But gentlemen, talk about Vince McMahon being back on television and how he's interjected himself into meaningful storylines and in the backstage with different people who are upset with their role in the company.
I think you kind of hit it on
SmackDown tonight. SmackDown tonight? Like, what are you talking about, man? This comes out on Thursdays. What do you mean SmackDown tonight?
Oh, you and your weird-ass kayfabe when it's necessary. Stop it.
I just watched SmackDown. I recorded it.
Oh, Hulu or DVR kind of thing? Oh, that's right. You can do that. Or, yeah,
there
no.
we go. There we go. That's good. That's
okay. But still. So, I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when you said that, like, he's one of the best character superstars, whatever you want to call it. Like, everybody loves the Mr. McMahon character from the Attitude Era, and when it leaked over to, like, Ruthless Aggression and all this other stuff, he became a parody of himself a little bit when he became, what, CW champion and all this other shit. So, and then you saw him kind of take a back seat, and now people just miss the character that they kind of fell in love with, the evil, powerful, you know, owner, president, whatever the hell you interact, you know, random CEO, whatever kind of thing here. And it's nice. And you can't deny the kind of power he has over ratings or just what he brings to a segment, be it Raw, when that segment wasn't exactly great. They kind of tripped over each other's words. Brock kind of started to leave a little earlier at an awkward time, and that threw off Finn and that, but Vince was still good. Even if he flipped a little bit, even if he came in too early and had to basically say it again, and then on SmackDown when he had the whole moment with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, even though it was really kind of insignificant and more like the moderator between the two, there's something different. There's just something nice about seeing him around, what he adds to the segment or the promo or the vignette, and Even the stupid shit with, like, him in the back with the Revival. And they complain, and it's like that almost fourth wall break. And then you got, Hawkins shows up out of nowhere. And he's, I love the line that Hawkins had when he's just like, oh, I'm pretty familiar with three counts, so I could do this. I'm like, that was wow. Great. That was a great one liner. Vince kind of has this way of just not saying that much, and it still builds the moment nicely, and it still adds a nice aura, a nice air to things. So Vince is gold. Vince makes any segment better, and until that changes.
Okay, so first and foremost, I think that we can now finally put the notion to bed that the ratings don't matter. Now, granted, ratings don't matter as much as they used to, but the fact that Vince McMahon has been on television for consecutive weeks now, that lets us know that ratings matter to somebody. Now, whether that was an edict that was put down by USA Network or whether WWE looked and saw the declining ratings and decided they needed to do something, either way, we now know that in some shape, form, or fashion, ratings matter. Can we all agree on that? Because Vince wouldn't be out there if they didn't, right? Sure. Am I right or am I right?
I'll give it to you.
Thank you. Okay. So initially, I wasn't that excited about having Vince back on television every week because initially he just came across as a feeble old man, and it was kind of sad to see. Now, slowly but surely, he has began to redevelop his fastball or pick it up. He's obviously not the character that he once was. I mean, I said this earlier. He's probably the biggest heel in the history of the industry, and that's why the industry popped off the way it did during the Attitude Era. Because you had Stone Cold to Vince McMahon's foil, and that everything off. But yeah, he's not what he once was, but he's still just that damn masterful that after a few weeks on TV and getting his sea leg, his matters to a certain degree. So it's a good thing to have him back on television, and it's a good thing to have him interacting with talent, because I feel like ultimately that's a plus to talent to try to get the rub, the man rub. Like, that's the thing. Like, as much as we try to argue and piss and bitch and moan about talent rubbing up against the McMahons and Shane working out his daddy issues at WrestleMania by jumping off high shit and all of that stuff, there's still a certain cachet that comes along with getting a rub from being in a storyline with a McMahon. And I don't think that's deniable.
I mean, you're completely right. Be it Vince or be it Shane or Stephanie or I guess even Hunter now since he's in that club. Everything, it all gets elevated whenever they're involved. You know, as much as people may have groaned or pissed and moaned at the Brothers of Destruction versus DX, that was still a highlight for a lot of people. A lot of people tuned into the show to watch that. A lot of people tuned in to just to watch, what, Ambrose versus Triple H from a couple years ago. And, you know, okay, maybe PC didn't. But, you know, Triple H, Stephanie, it's all gold. Vince is the best one out of that because he's been able to just craft a character that you can plug and play into any situation in any decade at any point in time. Because whenever you need a bad guy, you just go to the owner, and it's fine. That's relatable. Everybody that has a job has an issue with their boss. Even if your boss is your best friend, sometimes they'll piss you off, get on your nerves, or miss something. You'll think he's incompetent. You can do the job better. So it's a very, very easy plug-and-play kind of role. And Shane, you know, Shane's always been the lovable one. Even when he tried to be evil during, what, the corporate ministry and shit like that, like, it's hard to hate Shane. Shane's always kind of been the baby face of the McMahons, and now he's got that thing with Miz, and I don't know what the hell it is about those two, but all of those dumbass fucking, like, buddy cop kind of scenes that they have, it's amazing. It's like lightning in a bottle in a sense, because I love watching how, like, against it Shane was, and then Miz slowly, like, wore him down. He's just, like, talking about outfits and talking about, like, but we're co-besties, and you need to do this for your dad, and I want to do it for my dad, and all this other stuff. And then Shane eventually jumped on board with it, and they're funny shit to watch. Like, yes, eventually someone's probably going to turn on somebody, but hopefully they ride that out for a little bit, because I think it's a fun little team, and Shane can go well enough. It puts Miz in a decent spot where he's not languishing doing nothing. He's still kind of the main event because Shane's attached to it. And whenever they break that up, Miz can get plugged into IC, US, World, you know, main event, whatever's necessary or whatever's on SmackDown or Raw, wherever he happens to go in the next trade. So the McMahon name just works.
It does. And I think that whole Shane Miz thing, excuse me, more than anything, I think it's a testament to how great Miz is. I feel like he's carrying that, and Shane can hold his own as well. But yeah, I feel like that's a testament to how great Miz is. Going back to Vince for a second, I thought it was interesting his interpretation of David and Goliath. I don't know what book he read that from. Yeah, I don't even have a joke for that. Like, I just don't know what book he read that from. But Vince has done a good job, like I talked about in the previous topic, man. They worked me into thinking that Finn actually has a shot in this melon farmer. So mission accomplished on that particular point. The funny thing is, and Stephanie is a good heel too, but she plays her part. And I hear a lot of backlash from the internet wrestling community and the internet media talking about how she emasculates a lot of the guys. But if you've noticed the past few WrestleManias, she has gotten her comeuppance to a certain degree. So, I mean, there's that. You know, the funny thing is that we don't see Linda here, and I guess Linda is off being part of the feds right now, so that's not going to be a thing. But could we see a storyline where Linda and maybe like EC3, since he's top part of the top 1%, and I can't see Linda banging a broke dude. Maybe EC3 and Linda kind of have something going on there, and we get a EC3 Shane matchup where, you know, the sanctity of his mother or some shit like that.
So I'm not saying that way he doesn't talk now. He's got to cover it up so he can't say shit.
Well, I'm not going to say all that. I think just one day he comes out and, you know, he comes out with Linda,
you motherfucker,
body or something like that. And, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, I'm just throwing ideas out there. I'm spitballing against the wall. We want change, that would be change.
Or maybe because he's working with Linda, not banging Linda, but he's going to go for the 22 Jump Street Channing Tatum kind of thing. So he's going to change his character on main roster than NXT. And he needs his time to character, but Dana Brooke keeps asking him questions. And oh, it's just going to fuck him up. So then you're just going to see his first promo is going to be like, my name's Jeff.
Well, no? If he's working with Linda, he's probably banging Linda because Vince McMahon's side. I'm just saying, Vince McMahon's side trim is very, very well documented. So it's only fair to assume that Linda probably got a little piece on the side as well. And why wouldn't that be somebody that looks like EC3?
I mean, but why does it have to be?
Because it's not going to be Apollo Crews. That's why.
Might be
Apollo Crews.
Just like he wasn't going to be a topic.
She trying to make America great again, and, you know, that would work.
The more I think about it, it might actually be Apollo Crews or R-Truth, since he's close to the family.
But that's what gave Crews that jolt of charisma. There we go. That's why he was dancing around. Linda throwing it down hard.
Nothing like busting off in a middle-aged white woman to give you some confidence, huh?
Middle-aged? Social security age. Where the hell is your middle?
Jeez. I guess that is the middle. That's more towards the end, isn't it?
She's got to be at least 70. If Vince is like 75 or whatever.
I guess you got a point. That's more towards the end. You're right.
It really is. That's some dusty-ass stuff. That's like, oy, cobwebs.
So this one does. He's...
Luke's not face.
And then he goes.
That's either a good cough or a bad cough, depending on what our context is for the conversation.
Well, it sounds like it's good for everybody. Linda gets their vagina dusted off, and Apollo gets a push. Like, where's the bad?
I mean, Raw's gonna be white jelly right after fucking Glass and Temptation Island and shit like that.
Bad. Just come to bed with a gallon of alkaline water and you'll be straight.
Jesus. I don't think we have...
I guess it's time for time
to kill this. We got a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Go!
What was that, a Linda McMahon quote?
Yeah, there goes her hip.
To Apollo.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
You made Alfred stutter, you asshole.
Why should
you visit thechairshot.com?
Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I think we have a show title.
What, always use your head?
You made Alfred stutter your ass. I think that's what it should be.
And Alfred had been dead for, what, 20 years? RIP, by the way, but yeah.
That's some powerful bullshit right there to make him stutter.
Hey, baby. That's why I'm over, baby.
Like the Tony Chimmel sighting out of nowhere.
I'm honored, actually. I take that as a badge of honor.
Proud of you.
As am I.
Oh.
Now, if you'll pardon me, as I pat myself on the back.
Let's do it. Everybody get loose. Let's do some stretches here. You know, get your hands over your head. Stretch your legs out. Move your middle a little bit. Get yourself ready. Y'all know what's coming. You know, you want to be loose as a goose.
The seventh inning stretch. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's time for topic number three.
Velveteen Dream.
Gentlemen, oh wow, that's a nice little move you got going on there, Platt. I'm not even gonna go there. That was just for the three of us. And maybe I like it that way. Now I'm feeling a little velveteen.
Ooh, baby.
That's gentlemen, right, baby. Let me lick your funky emotions.
As we approach the NXT TakeOver weekend involved with this Royal Rumble weekend, let's start off talking about Velveteen Dream and some very, very interesting tweet that went out, and then transition that right into the whole events that are happening Saturday night for NXT TakeOver.
Okay, well, alert me to the tweet because I haven't seen it as of yet.
Oh, I can pull it up here if you guys want to.
Please and thank you. Thank you and please. And while he's doing that, I'm going to remind everybody to make sure you take your stinking asses to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. Not only do we have the old school designs, but we've got some brand spanking new designs that are actually cool and innovative, and you can wear them out in public. And if anybody asks, hey, what's that you got on? Oh, you don't know? I'm part of the movement. Again, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. And as of right now, at Pro Wrestling Tees, you can get 15% off. So if you've ever wanted a chair shot, now is the time. You've got to stand up. Oh, oh yeah. Now is the time. And I just, it was at that moment he realized that he was on a podcast with a couple of white guys and a majority white audience, and nobody had any idea the reference that he just sang. But anyway, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you. Thank you and please.
Yeah, we can deal with that.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The Dream's tweet read as such, as now his account is protected, and I would imagine the tweet has been further deleted. Deleted.
Delete!
But it is obsolete.
It is, but I have said tweet. It is not obsolete. It is in front of me, and I am staring at my feet. But in front of my feet is my phone, so I shall go on and read the tweet aloud. Are you ready?
Indubitably.
Please.
Yeah, that was horrible. I apologize. I know my worth. The past year, I've created a special atmosphere at NXT TakeOver. Until we, asterisk, can come to an agreement as to what my worth actually is, there won't be any appearances or performances from The Velveteen Dream or my likeness. Thank you, The Dream. January 21st, which was 3 days ago, definitely not yesterday.
Flat, weigh in. You wanted the info. Come on.
Yes, clearly that was a few days ago and not yesterday.
Yes.
But you know what? Honestly, well, okay, first off, let me say this, man. If you didn't understand the last reference I said, please go back and watch the movie Mac. It's one of those 70s blaxploitation films. You might understand that whole Now's the Time reference, but that's neither here nor there. I totally agree with The Dream on the he does bring a special atmosphere to NXT. We went to an NXT show. It was literally the show. He was the main eventer. Yes, he does prevent a certain or present a certain atmosphere. But I think I don't just this house. I think I speak for those who the fuck he is. We're all a little nervous about him getting called up because we're all on the same page. Like, don't fuck this up. Like, you literally have the goose. Don't fuck this up. Now, that being said, the fact that he's not on NXT this weekend, Balls, I can certainly see him making an appearance in the Royal Rumble. Not saying that he's necessarily going to be called up, but I could see him making an appearance and just popping the crowd. You know what I mean? But again, I feel we're all of the same mindset. Don't fuck this up. Like, so I don't want them to rush him up too soon. I really don't know what it is at this point, man. Like, I don't want them to rush him up the zone, but I feel like he's outgrown NXT, so I don't know what you do with him. But the bottom line is, don't fuck this up.
Yeah, that's a loaded, I can't not question, just comment, because I agree with you completely that he feels like the character is now too big for NXT, even though technically he's accomplished nothing, you know, championship accomplishment-wise.
So to say.
it's one of those ironic kind of moments where you're like, his character has transcended the brand, even the belts, even anything about NXT and the little indie, you know, intimate kind of vibe it has. He is the obvious, like, megastar, the great personality that they have. And I don't, I'm right there with you, where I don't want them to fuck it up, but is keeping him down in NXT fucking it up?
I almost think it is. And I mean, let's be clear, man. The new era that we in, work rate is more important than it has ever been. And as far as work rate goes, he does still have some development and some conditioning. Like, he needs to get better on that. But I mean, at this point, his personality doesn't really matter. Like, does work rate really matter? Because, I mean, Hulk Hogan wasn't, you know, Hulk Hogan wasn't the greatest worker in the world. Like, Hulk Hogan's, nobody's going to confuse Hulk Hogan with Okada. Even though when he went over to New Japan and he did some other spots, you could see that he could work a little bit, but that's not what they asked of him. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't think work rate matters when you have that transcendent personality, but at the same point in time, WWE has a really bad track record when it comes to calling up people from NXT. And I feel like they know what they have here, but at the same point in time, man, and I've said it like, you know, 5-4 times on these airwaves just now, I'm just scared they're going to fuck it up. I don't know what you do with him. Do you loan him out to maybe an Evolve, or maybe you let him go over to NXT UK for, you know, 5 or 6 months or something like that? I don't really know what you do with him at this point. He's actually in a very weird position.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point when you bring up the personality as opposed to work rate, because it seems like the Twitter, the IWC, the smart marks, however you want to just, you know, group them, they like the work rate a little more than personality. But we've also seen with the Becky Lynch stuff, a good gimmick or something to grab onto is enough to get people to just worship everything they do and say, regardless of anything that happens to be said or what temperature the comment may carry. So it's very weird. Like, all of this is just such a weird balance. Like, it's the knife's edge balancing act type thing, because keeping him down in NXT seems too small time because his personality is too big. Bringing him up too quick seems like they're bringing him up too quick, which, yes, it's redundant and doesn't really say anything. But to kind of expound on that, it's just, where would he go? What characters can actually push him personality-wise, persona-wise, aside from a Goldust? And Goldust is still on the shelf at the moment, and who knows if he's going to come back, you know, to actually wrestle, or if he's going to do the manager, or the trainer thing, or maybe he'll even find a way to jump ship and go to AEW with Cody or something like that. Who actually knows? I don't know what shit about his contract status, but because of his lineage, he's was going to have a spot in WWE, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So what would Velveteen's trajectory be if he were to hit main roster, say through Rumble, just make a splash? And where would he go from there? Because Lashley doesn't really have that big of a personality. Apollo just showed some personality, and you don't want to kind of screw that up. Then you got Ryder and Hawkins, but those would be like jobs for Dream because he feels so big. So aside from a work rate match against like a Seth Rollins and Balor, which he can't really pull off quite convincingly yet, what? it's a weird position. Like I can't even manufacture an angle at the moment, and I'm trying to just kind of buy time saying words to maybe find a space to go with this, and even I can't do that. So do you have anywhere for that?
Well, for starters, you can't say he can't pull off the work rate of a Seth Rollins or Finn Bálor when the chair shot personalities just voted Velveteen versus Gargano at the match of the year. So you can't say that because work rate wise, Gargano is on par with Seth Rollins or Finn Bálor or damn near not everybody, but damn near anybody else that you want to throw out there in that category.
It was Ciampa.
Ciampa, I beg your pardon, but the fact still remains.
Oh no, but that was still more of a person. It was more of a early 2000s, late 90s match. There were a lot of big spots. It was a lot of personality back and forth. It wasn't like an Omega Okada where there was heavy work, heavy chain wrestling, but you know, back and forth, just nonstop action. There was a little pandering, a lot of homages, and it was, I guess, the WWF style of, like, you know, Americanizing it to make it bigger, and it was damn good, and I agree. It's surprising that it won it, and that does kind of usurp the idea of it needs to be work rate to be good. But as we've seen against, like, Ricochet and a few others, even Cash Sono, who isn't, like, great work rate right now anymore, like, not when he was Chris Hero, he stumbles when people are a little more athletic or faster than him, and he hasn't quite caught up to that part yet. That's the only part I meant about him. He can't really pull off a work rate match.
That's fair enough. But again, that can't be negated, that the fact that the chair shot personalities voted his match versus Ciampa as match of the year. Like, that can't be negated. I really enjoyed his Ricochet match. I think his best match was versus Aleister Black a few years ago at that takeover. Like, I enjoyed that match more than any of his other matches. Again, I thought the Ricochet match was pretty good. The Hero match, I didn't hate it. Like, it was cool for what it was, but I didn't hate it. I think that personality-wise, and that's where you make the money in this industry. Like, combat sports is a personality-driven business, and that's where you make the money. And by the time you get the money, the matches don't really matter that well. Obviously, you want to have a good payoff, and you want to have a good match, but it's not a necessity. My point being in that is my best-case scenario is Floyd Mayweather. You know, Mayweather has made more money in combat sports than anybody ever. He's drawn more money than anybody ever. And the average person on the street will tell you that most of his matches are boring. I disagree with that because I understand and appreciate boxing, so I understand and appreciate what he does within the ring. But the average person on the street will tell you that his matches are boring, that he's drawn more money than any participator in the history of the business. So you can't negate that. And that being said, Balls, can I say something that's probably going to piss off the majority of our listening audience?
Go for it. These are always fun.
Okay. He's black. And
no way! He's black? Fuck.
I know. Spoiler alert. Bob, great, by the way. I know. I didn't mean to. It's kind of like when they found out Beyonce was black and SNL had a good skit about that. But my point being is that WWE doesn't necessarily have the best track record when it comes to pushing black wrestlers. Now, we can bring up The Rock, but The Rock is racially ambiguous, which is, I argue, one of his strengths and one of the reasons why he's the biggest star in history ever, period. Point blank, period. So that's also what scares me, because they don't have the best track record when it comes to pushing black wrestlers, and that's the main thing that scares me. I'm not worried so much about work rate. I think personality-wise, he can get over to a mainstream audience because, you know, the effeminate, charismatic black man gimmick, it's worked for Michael Jackson, R.I.P. It worked for Prince, R.I.P. To a certain degree, it worked for Rick James, R.I.P. Like, that has gotten over in America and worldwide. Like, that's a thing. It can get over. But when they call him up to the main roster, at the end of the day, he is a black wrestler, and I'm scared they're going to fuck this up. I mean, they fucked up Shinsuke. And some of that is Shinsuke's part, too, because Shinsuke was kind of melding it in. But he probably saw the tea leaves and the writing on the wall and saw, okay, well, we're only going to push you to a certain degree, and that led to him kind of melding it in. They fucked that up. Like, this is what they do. So I'm a little apprehensive. But we said he's outgrown NXT, and I don't know what you do with him unless you loan him out to other promotions. Like, they have the Street Profits. But, I mean, the Street Profits aren't anywhere near what he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got a really good point there. And I guess you've been talking about it. The only angle I could really see him coming up to Maine would either be against who you just mentioned, Shinsuke, because they both have that artistic kind of eccentric kind of personality, or attached to the New Day, not as a fourth member, but kind of as the counter positivity, like the one that maybe breaks them up, because he maybe pieces, like, goes after the New Day because he's a little, not a little, he's very self-centered, egotistical, and kind of anti what they are, and they're just as charismatic as he is. So that could be a lot of good promo. And then you're dealing with a lot of big personalities that casual fans will like. So I just don't know if something they'd want to go through with, because as much as we like to talk, New Day is probably going to break up eventually. They haven't pulled the trigger on that, because that's still a huge machine when it comes to merchandising and shirts and fucking shitty cereal that's overpriced and now pancakes and crap like that. It's weird, because, like, he would fit good on SmackDown because they have the better personalities there. But I'm almost afraid that that would screw other things up if he came in there, maybe broke up New Day, and then where do we go from that?
Well, the thing with the New Day, and I understand why you said what you said, but there's a clear... WWE has established a clear ceiling with the New Day, so they're only going to get to a certain rank. So I don't want him to come in associated with the New Day, because that's automatically going to slot him, you know, at that mid to possibly upper mid card range, but it's still not where he needs to be. And the thing that WWE needs to do, man, I mean, just in wrestling in general, you bring everybody in as a top guy or a woman in that case, you know, for what it was worth, and then allow the fans to slot them where they need to be. But you bring them in with all the bombing circumstance necessary, and you slot them as the top in a top position, and then allow the audience to decide where they fall. And I think bringing him in with the New Day, which is an established act, which is over, but has a clear ceiling, I think that limits his potential growth. I think he's bigger than that, quite frankly. I really do.
Okay, well, we're kind of just going around in circles with this one, since we don't really know how to make it, how to definitely fix the dream problem. But I guess we're all in agreement.
No, we're
all in agreement.
And need to figure that shit out.
Yeah, we're all in agreement. It's a problem. They figured that out. He is too big for NXT, regardless of the lack of championship accolades. And something's got to give. And you can't lose this character, because this is, as you said, the best character they've had in a long time. And he could be the face of the franchise moving forward. So, yeah. So,
gun to your head before we move on. Do we see him in the Rumble on Sunday? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to say yes as well. Regardless of if he moves up to WWE, I think we do see him in the Rumble.
Agreed. So, speaking of the Rumble.
Thank you. Go ahead, please, man. I didn't mean to shit on your segue. Please continue.
Oh, no, right. That's just all I was doing. I'm just like, speaking of the Rumble, intro.
Whenever you're ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's
welcome to the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I think it's gonna be an over.
You feeling
as well?
Get over there.
How many times the showy channels, Vince?
Yeah, it's been like at least once every question. I'm curious if we'll find a way to put it in question five now.
God damn it, Bowles! I'm trying to get ratings!
Meanwhile, in the corner, here's Alfred.
Promotional consideration paid for by...
Oh, that Vince is a monster.
Pop. Pop. It'd be.
All right. Topic number four. I'm working on it. Go ahead, yell at me, and then I'll go off of your yelling cue.
Introduce the topic.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. The Royal Rumble, sir.
Damn it, man. We're waiting on you.
The Royal Rumble, sir. Please speak about the Royal. Please pontificate, sir, about the Royal Rumble, please, sir. Shall I play the theme? Shall I play the theme again for you, sir, that you requested? Sir, is the theme befitting of you?
What will win a ticket to WrestleMania? It is the Royal Rumble!
You look like you're in pain.
I look.
Are you getting down into? Are you it's down into this vocal range? Are you down in here? Are you like? Yeah, no.
Jesus Christ!
Is that where you were coming from?
God.
Latter-day Saints.
Yeah. Latter-day Saints.
Welcome to thechairshot.com presents throat vocalization. And your keynote master, Christopher Platt.
Man, good God.
Papa made me bash my M&M's.
This should be a new game show called Is It Vince McMahon or Mongolian Throat Singing? Let's find out. Chris?
You know what? Speaking of Mongolian, how about that Mongolian barbecue?
Wait, what did you say? Sorry.
How about Mongolian barbecue?
Oh, Mongolian barbecue, that's good. I like Korean barbecue a little more, but Mongolian barbecue is good.
Hey, how about that?
Mongolian throat singing. I feel like that's something rich men pay like seven figures for.
So, yeah, the Rumble. That's the thing that we got this weekend. And yeah, that whole road to WrestleMania, that other fun stuff, all the other little idioms and fucking fun lines you can come up with to, you know, just talk about the time of year. Hooray! So I think we've kind of beat into the dirt so far with what the major storylines are going into the show. And now how about the big show? So since we do picks and the main fun is to find out who wins and to guess who wins, I guess let's just kick off with that part. Like, who do we think is going to win the men's and the women's Rumble? I'll start with the men's, and I'm going to say Drew McIntyre, because after losing to Seth Rollins, I don't think Rollins is that much of a slam dunk anymore. Just using old school wrestling kind of mentality of whoever looks strong enough to go home usually loses at the pay-per-view. Like, Rollins has kind of done a little too much. I feel like the win at Rumble would be overkill, and he doesn't need it. And that would actually validate everything Drew's been saying. It seems like every time he should be in the main event picture, someone shows up or something happens or someone gets kicked out of it, and just shenanigans kind of keeps him out. So I'm going with Drew to win it. What do you think, Chris?
You know, Andrew, it's funny, man, because I watched that promo that Seth Rollins cut on Monday, and I feel like that was supposed to be his go home, I'm that dude promo, and I gotta be honest, it just didn't make me moist. Like, I understand what he was going for, and the crowd popped for it and whatnot, but it didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I mean,
that being said, yeah, but, and he, I don't know, Seth is weird, man. Like, everybody can, we all can attest that he's a phenomenal talent in the ring, but there's something about his character. Even when he was a heel, I don't feel like he got heel heat. He got more of that turn the channel heat or that go away heat. You know what I mean? I don't think it was like legitimate heat. Like, I feel like Baron Corbin got more heat than Seth Rollins got heat. So yeah, I don't know what the disconnect assessment is. I don't know what the disconnect is. I don't know. They just really haven't found his character yet, and neither has he. But that being said, I feel like the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and he is, for better or worse, he's the de facto biggest babyface in the company. I mean, at this particular point in time, and they're dealing with issues. Like, the Roman thing really hurt everybody. Like, that really hurt. And I think people now understand how big and how important Roman was, because that totally messed up the pecking order of everything. Braun has kind of cooled off a little bit here. Now, you know, everybody's going to point that, well, he cut a few weeks ago, but I don't think it's all his fault. He's clearly cooled off, though. But, I mean, who can you put in terms of baby faces in the company right now, male, we're talking strictly male, is above Seth Rollins? I don't think there is anybody. So I think, again, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So I think that Rollins is going to rumble, and boo the WWE, because they haven't done a good job of creating scenarios in which we can see multiple people winning the Rumble. Like, it's literally going to come down to Drew McIntyre or Seth Rollins, according to the way that they booked it. Now, they might have like a out of left field participant win. Like, I'm low key looking at Rey Mysterio, like he might mess around and win it, but that's neither here nor there. I'm just throwing that out there just in case it's right. I can prove how smart I am to everybody, but that's neither here nor there. Today on the men's side, I think Seth does win. I think Seth Mania and defeats Brock, and then his first feud coming out of Mania will be between him and McIntyre. On the women's side, I think it's probably signed, sealed, and delivered that Charlotte's going to win that. And like, am I wrong about that, Andrew?
Well, see, with the women, I think it's down to two also, because you're looking at Becky will probably lose to Asuka. And that'll set up an interesting Rumble situation where maybe we get Batista, Cena, or Hart, Luger, where, you know, they both go over and then it's a triple threat.
So you think either Batista or Lex Luger is going to win the Women's Royal Rumble? All right,
bringing up the only examples of two people winning a Rumble. There is literally one other Women's Rumble. There is no other historical evidence to pull from. Wow.
You keep on kissing babies and hugging fat girls.
When did you turn into, like, Twitter grammar Nazi SJW bullshit, taking one fucking sentence out of context, and now you're running with it? Is that part of the good guy thing?
How can you be mad at me when you clearly said that either Batista or Lex Luger is going to win the Women's World Rumble? How can you be upset with me about that?
You must be cutting out, because I said it's going to be like Batista, Cena, or Luger, Hart, where two people are going to fucking win the thing. That's the point. And those are the only
historical. And the two people you named were Luger and Batista.
Time was a Women's Rumble where two people went over one at the same time. You do that for me right now, Mr. Hyperbole. Come on.
Okay, give me a second. Okay. Wendy Richter.
Okay.
Versus Bull Nakata.
Nakano.
1986.
Okay.
All Japan Wrestling.
Okay.
They didn't call it the Royal Rumble. It was the Women's Wrestling Classic.
That's close because there was All Japan. Like, All Japan. Like you're pretty close on like timelines, and I'll give you points there. But yeah, that was a good try. Yeah, I thought you were gonna be like, you know, what Mildred Burke and one time at
May Young.
They actually all three went over at the same time. So yeah, that's been nice to have because they did the triple Lindy.
One of these things is not like the others.
But yeah, so either way, to circle back to a point of a talking point, it's either Becky or Charlotte. Now, maybe they'll both win, so I don't have to bring up any kind of historical names that will just not help here. But, and then it'll be a triple threat against Ronda. I could see that. It's also a safe way to protect Ronda in a singles-ish loss, because if Becky pins Charlotte, or even if Ronda gets pinned, it was a, you know, three-person thing. It wasn't one-on-one. So it protects her. So that's all well and good. But just to touch on one small thing that irritated me about Seth and his character the last, what, 2 or 3 months. Is it just me, or are you also sick of him mentioning Roman Reigns every fucking time he picks up the microphone? Like, it feels like the just a cheap way to try to garner sympathy.
I'm just sick of him talking. He's just not very good at talking. And even when he tries to come on, it's kind of like you. He's kind of like you, Balls. Even when he tries to come across as sincere, it just sounds like he's pandering to the audience, and it just comes across as insincere, and he's just, it's just something heelish about it.
See, that's why I don't pander to the audience. Occasionally I pander to you or PC because I like you guys, but, you know, not the audience. Well,
for your audience, sir.
No, you're not. We're like the Shield. It's us three.
But yeah, there's something missing there, and then...
Tony, don't worry. You can be Ambrose because you both have, like, no hair. Platt's the only one with pigment, so he's Roman.
Hey,
now we're making them stutter, too.
I know what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to dispute that, man. You break up fair points.
But, you sound like you're just making a good, solid point.
Do you see an angle for Becky to win? Are you pretty solid locked on Charlotte for the Women's Rumble?
You know, I'm assuming that through shenanigans, Asuka is going to win the championship match. So I could see a way where Becky Bogarts her way into the Rumble, and that happens, and then we set up a triple threat. But my question to you is, because we're assuming that the women are going to main event Mania this year, right? Like, the men's cupboard is old Mother Hubbard. And that cupboard is Bear's pluck, and we all agree to that.
Yeah.
So we're under the assumption that the women are going to main event WrestleMania. So do you think that they want to end the show with a triple threat match? Because it hasn't happened that long. I mean, it hasn't happened that much, rather. I mean, we had it a few years ago with the rise of Daniel Bryan, with him and Orton and Batista. And before that, we had it with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and He Who Shall Not Be Named. And that's really it. Other than the WrestleMania 2000 debacle where they had that four corners, but, you know, we don't speak of that either. But do you think that they would be willing to close the show with a triple threat as opposed to a one-on-one?
Why not? It doesn't happen that often, and the ones that you did want to mention are pretty damn good matches. They go down. They go up against most things, and if this lives up to that kind of hype and you could put it in the same category as those matches, where it's like, you know, Daniel Bryan's kind of like crowning achievement, and like the whole Benoit HBK Triple H thing, like, who? I don't see what
who,
Crispin who? Freeman, Crispin Glover,
who,
Crispy Cream,
who,
I don't know,
who? Crispy Cream,
Engelbert Fishy back,
but still. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't. They've obviously done it. You just said they have a history doing it. Not often, but I think this is good time to make an exception. And why wouldn't you have Ronda in the main with whatever it happens to be? Like, Ronda against Becky, Ronda against Charlotte, Ronda against both of them.
Cena.
That's Bacchus. Ronda against Cena? Okay, go for it. That's how Cena gets the He's the Raw Women's Champion.
I mean, his time is up on the men's side, and he has slimmed down significantly.
Hell of a way to break Flair's record.
Woo!
Woo! I will never retire!
Oh, shit. I don't even know if I have that one anymore. God damn it.
No, but I see, obviously Ronda is going to be in the main event at Mania because she's the biggest star they have in terms of mainstream value. Now, whether or not it's going to be whether or not it's going to be Charlotte, whether or not it's going to be Becky, whether or not it's going to be both of them, that's the only question that remains.
Sure, but yeah, I'm in agreement with you that I don't think there's a lot of choices necessarily for who's going to win. It's two, maybe three if there's a dark horse that you really want to angle shit on, like Randy Orton, how he made his impact on SmackDown. That would be maybe be something, you know? Orton versus Lesnar. The first one wasn't great, but we could maybe see it again. Orton versus Bryan or Styles or something like that. It's a safe bet. Sometimes it's too safe when they go to Orton, but the crowd popped like a motherfucker. So Orton's still obviously over. So he's still kind of lingering there as maybe he'll pull it off again.
You know, perhaps I need to lay off the boo, but in the back of my head, I could see Rey Mysterio possibly pulling this off. And then we have a Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio match at WrestleMania.
Yep, you need to lay off the booze.
The wrestler's main event. Kind of like how... Okay, fair enough.
Which one's the underdog then?
Well, Daniel Bryan technically is a little taller than Rey Mysterio, isn't he?
Did you just propose two guys underneath 5 feet 10 inches tall main event WrestleMania? Is that what you literally just proposed? And then before that you asked if you should lay off the booze. Do you need to ask one other question on this topic?
So are you trying to say
God damn it, pal, it's WrestleMania. They're all main events.
So you're saying Finn Balor should be added, PC, and then we can have like the triple triad of like just mid fighting. It'd be fantastic. Put him in little hats. No, the referee can be dressed up like Santa. Exactly. The referee dressed up like Santa, and it could be like North Pole Massacre for the title. That's exactly what this is. That's got to be vegan approved.
So the ref is going to be like 6'5 ass Nick Patrick, right?
Why not? Nick Patrick might have bulked up a little bit. I think he might have put on some weight. He hasn't reffed in, 20 years?
is Nick Patrick. It's like 6 feet 12, and you're going to have him in there with all these little people. That's my point.
Why not? It'd be fun. And then they can pull out the tinsel and the garland and just wrap up the referee and roll him out of the ring at some point.
While we're talking about Santa, gentlemen, after the show, remind me to tell you about a person we all know that may be working with someone that likes to dress up as Santa. Continue.
Oh wow. Oh. That could be kind of hot, but we'll stay tuned for that one. But so what, instead of a ladder match, it's going to be a step stool match?
Yes, or no, it's a candy cane, but it's got like the telephone pole prongs on it, and they climb up like a telephone pole. That's what it is!
It's a dining room chair, and they have to climb the dining room chair to get to the chandelier, which is where the title is hanging.
Yes. How did you know?
And in the background, Santa Claus 3 is playing.
By this, somebody that likes to dress up like Santa.
Is it sexy Santa or is it regular Santa?
Yeah. That's a good point.
PC, answer that question at least. Come on, give us a little nugget.
I'm not a nugget.
Thanks, Owen.
That's a little nugget. Yeah, to be more specific, sir.
You want a nugget?
Is it a gentleman or lady that we're familiar with?
Oh, that way. Oh, it's a gentleman. It is a gentleman.
Oh.
Now I'm less.
Stop now. So just let's go. That. Yeah. Let's move on.
That doesn't care now. That's rude. Come on. I thought you liked him.
I'm
you guys
giving anything away. This could be a whole number of possibilities.
Santa Claus kids.
This could be a whole number of possibilities.
Wow. There's no Santa Claus.
Hey, don't play the Bobby Heenan role. You stop it. Don't make me Roddy Piper and have to come over there.
Balls out. Let me bring him back. This is what he wanted before.
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Woo!
Woo!
Do y'all remember a few months ago when it came out on Twitter where Ric Flair was, the doctor said Ric Flair was clear to take bumps? And my first thought was, are they talking about cocaine? Because,
Well, he can't drink anymore, so he's got to do something.
I was about to say nothing. Nobody laughed at that. I thought that was comedy gold. Nobody laughed. Nothing.
Nope.
I laughed on the inside.
Nope. I laughed outside of my house, but the door is closed, so nobody could hear it. I'm sorry. I'm working on my ventriloquism. I threw my laughter. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll work on it next time.
I guess we're just ready for the next topic.
I haven't watched enough Jeff Dunham.
I love
Rusty. I'm sorry, bud.
I'll give you a dance break if you want a dance break.
Ooh.
It's funny. Why does anybody watch Jeff Dunham? That's just weird. Like, is he funny? Like, is that funny? Like, I've never watched the routine, so perhaps I shouldn't speak on it. But is he really funny? How funny could you be in 2019 with puppets?
No.
Actually, you could probably be very funny with puppets in 2019. Why? Well, the more I think about it, perhaps I need to check out his act.
It's hard. You can get away with a little more because it's puppets.
It's hard for me to end your tangent puppets, here because I know what you're about to talk about.
You don't like Jeff Dunham? You're
no.
Right.
I mean,
come
it's
on,
hard.
Come to territory.
I really want to end his tangent so that we get on to the next topic, but at the same time, I know what you're about to talk about, so I'm like not really looking forward to move on to the topic. Is what I'm saying.
2 hours later.
Go ahead, man. We'll make it entertaining. We promise.
We'll try to make sure you're not too twitchy at the end of this. Go.
Meanwhile, twitchy. Still in the corner.
Promotional consideration.
He's got to
be kidding me. I am shocked.
The chase for the best wrestling on television is over.
Amazing.
Because Impact has taken over Pursuit and Twitch.
Phenomenal.
2019 is going to be bigger.
Oh, God.
And better than ever.
Don't blink or you might miss something spectacular. Every week.
It's time to come back and watch what everyone is talking about. Don't miss Impact. This Friday at 10, exclusively on Pursuit and Twitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a soundbite. Impact Wrestling, you guys talk about it.
I love how that's always your segue for it. Impact, fuck you, speak words. It's like, that should be their motto from now on. Just Impact, go fuck yourself, say something.
Yeah, that's a great segue. I'm so happy we brought you back. But, Hey, but let me ask you this, though, Andrew, I'm sure you would. But let me ask you this, and PC, if you want to chime in as well. Do you think that, and I don't have a dog in this fight whatsoever. This is clearly me just asking a question. I don't feel one way or another about it. Do you think that it's possible in 2019 for a wrestling promotion to make an impact, pun intended, solely based on media, on social media, or not social media, but on streaming, i.e. not having a solid television presence?
Yes. PC,
go on.
You want to weigh in before I go in? Go on.
It's funny because I'm disinterested in their product just because of all the times I've spent time watching it and it sucked really, really bad. But, you know, and that's to put it in my professional opinion with professional words. But
yes.
What they're doing is smart because they don't have to spend a lot of money on a whole bunch of other things, and they can hopefully bring in the people and maybe upgrade the, you know, the product value, production value.
And that's what sucks. That's what sucks right now, PC, because the product is actually good. It's just that they've devolved to the point where they're on a channel with a bunch of fucking deer hunters. So, you know, that's the irony of the whole situation. Yeah. I was being quite literal when I said that.
I mean, well, the Twitch thing is an interesting angle, and I brought this up in my review article on thechairshot.com, and that's the fact that they have Josh Matthews popping in during commercial breaks to actually talk with the Twitch audience. They have wrestlers actually inside of the Twitch chat talking to you. Like I think it was like Brian Cage, Jordan Grace, Rosemary was in there at some point, Allie. And they also kind of, Rosemary and Allie continued their storyline with that weird bullshit Buffy the Vampire Slayer, dark evil, losing her soul, going to hell thing, whatever the fuck it was. It's a dumb storyline, don't get me wrong, but it's wrestling, so we expect shit like that to some degree. Did you really think Papa Shango put the fucking curse on Warrior?
Yes. I mean, he threw up yellow goo.
Okay, fair point. Yes, and we saw James Mitchell put them into a coffin and they went to hell and that all happened. So I guess if it's true to, it's real to you, then there we go. But I mean, the show has been really good. We've got some really solid matches, big man matches against like Killer Cross and Cage, and LAX has put on great matches with OVE and the Rascals, and it's hard to argue talent on the roster. And what they're doing with Twitch is really clever, and we know that AAA has been using Twitch for a little bit. We know that Wrestle Circus was using Twitch, and the only reason they're not really throwing shows anymore is because they don't have a venue, because I guess wherever they were doing it in Texas or whatever, either it's too much or there's red tape now. So they actually able to find a home to throw a show, but it wasn't for financial reasons that they stopped streaming. So the stream aspect, I think it's really profitable, especially since whoever does get Pursuit, Anthem's got a stake in Pursuit, so it's not costing them a hell of a lot. Twitch is a wider range medium TV, because if you have the internet, you have Twitch. It's just, it's going to have to kind of go by social media, by word of mouth. People are going to have to click in, and they're going to have to be interested by what they see. And Tunney is kind of just like probably a good portion of people that used to watch it back in like 06 to 09 when it was really good, and then they've gotten burned for the last 10 years. And it's kind of like, why do we want to put the effort in when you've promised us all this before, and this is what happened, and you gave a shit. So, I don't know. I like what they're doing. And some of it's unique, but yeah, I get Tony's point.
And that's what sucks, man, because people have been burned by this product so much in the past, and rightfully so. But the product, like you said, Balls, and like I, you know, am reiterating, like the product right now is actually very good. It's very entertaining, but people have been burned so much, and it's weird. I don't know if you can really cultivate an audience to the point where you can actually be financially viable on the internet. Well, let me say this again. I think that it can be done, but nobody has done it yet. Like, I love MLW. I love what they're doing. They consistently put it on entertaining matches, but I don't watch it as much as I did when I had whatever the name of that channel, BN Sports, when I had BN Sports as part of my cable package. And then I don't know what happened there. BN Sports just kind of disappeared.
I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was clowning you about it, and I looked up one day and I was like, oh shit, I don't have BN Sports anymore either. And I was like, specifically, like, I was paying for BN Sports. So, like, they got me for a couple of months. You know what I mean? Because I was paying for it. Like, I actually had to add it to my cable service and pay. It wasn't a lot of money, but I was still paying for that service for the sole purpose of MLW. And it took me a while till I realized that it wasn't even on there anymore. So I feel like that product has kind of took a hit lately because they don't have that TV service. And I feel like to be a major player, you have to have some sort of television, at least right now. At least right now, you have to have some television presence, and prayerfully or preferably a huge television audience, or not audience, but presence, in order to have the cachet that, okay, you're a big deal. You know what I mean? And I feel like there is going to be a promotion or a federation at some point in time that is going to figure out this internet thing and figure out how to be a big deal. But eventually, ultimately, at least right now still, you need that hot television presence to kind of validate your company. Because if you're not on TV, you're considered an off-brand.
Maybe. I mean, New Japan, to some degree,
about the product.
Well, I was going to argue that a lot of Japan, to a degree, is doing the stream thing mainly for the Western audience. Yes, they have a TV deal in Japan. Yes, they have access, but not a lot of people get access because it's kind of one of those obscure channels. Not as obscure as Pursuit, not as obscure as BN, but it's not like as prevalent as Spike or Paramount now. You know what I mean? So a lot of people still don't watch it on Access. A lot of people will sign up on New Japan World, and that's only like, what, $9 American, and it's 999 yen. So they're obviously making some decent money off of that if they keep putting more shows on there, keep promoting that. It's interesting. And I think making money purely by streaming and not by needing a huge TV presence is possible. And we're kind of seeing the groundwork for that. Is it going to be something that happens in the next 2 years? Maybe not. But is it something that we could see in maybe 10 years' time? I think definitely.
Okay, maybe 10 years' time. But the problem is that you need, because I don't think it's an argument that right now, all across the board, wrestling in regards to the actual in-ring product is the best that it's ever been. Like, every promotion is putting on amazing matches. Like, you can make the argument mm-hmm. that every single promotion has a possible match of the year candidate every show that they run. But the problem with that is that's not what drives eyeballs. Like, that's going to keep the same 1 to maybe 2 million, which I don't even think is that many. I think it's probably like 1.2 million are diehard wrestling fans here in this country. They'll keep us entertained. But in order to expand, you need personalities, because that's what draws people to the table, and ultimately that's what draws money. You need personalities, and there's not that many transcendent personalities out there.
I get what you're saying. I do.
Other than Jericho, who's a clear main eventer, and he's going to draw some eyeballs to AEW. But other than Jericho, how many other transcendent personalities are really out there non-WWE related?
Now, when you say transcendent personality, do you mean people that have the charisma and the personality and they could get to that point? Or you mean who's there right now?
Who's there right now? People that have been proven draws. There's people that can get there, but again, you need to get in front of a mainstream audience, and it's hard to do that via the internet.
I mean, that was where my angle was coming from, because Okada's got that charisma. He knows how to hold a crowd, even if you don't speak Japanese. Like, I mean, you've seen enough of his matches. Are you not entertained? Is his personality not larger than life enough to possibly be transcendent?
No, he is, but the problem with him is he's Japanese, and if you're going into a Western market, I don't know how well he's going to translate.
Okay.
I'm just being honest. Like, you
no,
know
it's
what I mean?
A fair point. Yeah, I'm not arguing that. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of names.
Yeah, I'm not saying
most people
I'm
would
not
say
saying good or bad, Omega. Right or wrong. It's what it is.
Yeah, most people would argue Omega, but as you know, if Omega was that much of a draw, then when he was on all of the ROH shows, there wouldn't have been an issue drawing. Not every ROH show was sold out. Not every ROH show was general admission only. And then when they did the whole, you know, UK stuff and some of the smaller shows and Australia for New Japan and all that stuff. So I get where the argument is against Omega, which is why I didn't say Omega. I can understand why some people would, and some people would also say the Bucks or Cody or something like that. But I don't think those names carry enough weight. Like, if you were to put the Bucks in some random fucking place, you know, who's really going to follow him? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're enough to carry a crowd like Jericho, which is kind of what you're getting at. I how you phrase the question, I understand it. And the only, I can't even think of, fuck that. You know, you bring up a good point that there's no wrestlers in that era or in the current era that have enough cachet to really just bring a crowd with them. And like, you know, Cena, if he left WWE, he might be able to bring people to somewhere because he's big enough.
Yeah.
But everything is currently under the WWE umbrella.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing, because, you know, we live in kind of a bubble as wrestling fans, man. We live in our own little shell in our own little bubble. Like, the WWE, goddamn them, but they really have created a universe in of themselves. You know what I mean? And I think that encompasses all wrestling fans. So we look at somebody and we say, oh, well, they're huge, or they could be huge, or blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, you have to draw mainstream eyeballs. And the problem with the internet is, okay, yeah, you're going to get us, the hardened mainstream wrestling fans, and we're going to tune in and all of that. But in order to really make a big splash, you've got to get the mainstream involved. And I don't think there's a lot of guys that can do that. I give Jericho that cachet, but that's only to a certain degree. The only other guys out there, maybe Goldberg, maybe Brock, because Brock is a whore. And I say that with, in the most respectful terms. I'm not trying to shit on him. But we've been, it's been proven that Brock is up to the highest bidder. So maybe if Shaka Khan is willing to open the bank book, and his son, Tony, if they're willing to open the bank book and make him an offer that he can't refuse, that might help. But other than that, how many truly mainstream potential stars are there out there?
I mean, we're avoiding one, but that's also because he's mostly retired and been saying no to everything. And that's CM.
Yeah,
he'll MMA come back. Punk.
Yeah, he'll come back eventually. He will, because he's gonna need a check eventually. Like Sean came back because he needed a check. He'll come back eventually.
Sure, and I guess Punk is really only one. Maybe Sting. If Sting popped up somewhere for an actual match, that could still carry some weight because lots of people still love Sting. And he was a boon when WWE got him. Like, people lost their fucking mind when he showed up in WWE. So that shows he still has some drawing power just because he's Sting. It's not like he's going to go to AEW for 3 years and try to carry the company. You know what I mean? So that's a rat to a degree.
Yeah. That's, plus, he fucked this shit up. So I don't really think he's interested in wrestling at this life. Obviously, money talks and bullshit runs a marathon. So if the check clears,
I like that, you know, one.
There's that. But yeah, so but I don't anticipate Sting coming out of retirement anytime soon.
Oh, neither do I. I'm trying to throw names out there, like Conan, maybe.
Okay.
Conan was wrestling, and if Conan got back into wrestling shape, he was huge in Mexico.
I don't think he can, though.
I mean, he made mention that he's trying after his MLW match. He said,
"Yeah,
he
but
to
I
come back to her."
I saw him in the Royal Rumble MLW match, and I saw him in that match low key. And that little bit of physicality in the LAX versus the OGs feud in that match that they had. What was that? Was that Slammiversary when they had the hardcore match where they tore up the ring?
Oh wait, the one with the wooden boards. That
yes,
that was Bound for Glory, I think. Right.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
Slammiversary or Bound for Glory, one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he could get back into workable shape. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's why I was saying if he could, because he was huge in Mexico. Yeah. People still remember from WCW. Shit, people still remember La Parca. And La Parca is a decent boon for MLW. So you throw out a couple WCW names, get fucking Disco Inferno and Alex Wright together. Maybe that'll work itself out. Get those dancing fools back with fucking Das Wunderkind with a little unsa.
Alex Wright, a.k.a. Zack Sabre Jr. What the hell has Alex Wright been up to?
I know he has a wrestling school because I think I follow him on Facebook and he's got a German wrestling school.
Nice.
I always like that,
man. We got to get out of here because I never saw with him. He looked like a gay stripper to me, but, you know, whatevs.
Wow. Maybe that's over with some people. You never know. The head of his time.
Well, I mean,
Alex Wright and Velveteen
Shawn Michaels
Dream.
Michaels did the effeminate Chippendale gimmick.
There we go. Alex Wright, Velveteen
That's
Dream.
Our next main event.
There we go. Velveteen's first feud.
That's our main event for NXT.
Yeah, they do.
Brooklyn.
No, NXT UK. It's in Germany. And then Alex Wright comes out of retirement to face Velveteen Dream in a strip-off. It's not even a wrestling match.
I know it's been like 50 some odd years, but I can't imagine no black dude going to Germany by himself. Like, I don't know the climate.
He's not Jewish. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Oy vey. Oy vey. Anywho, I think our moderator needs to get out of here, man. So, Balls, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you, brother? And also, that let us know what you're most looking forward to this Royal Rumble weekend.
Oh, that's a good one. Good. Give us your opinions, too, because we kind of danced around a bunch of shit and didn't really go some places. So fucking let us know if we missed the mark on anything. But yeah, Twitter. You can find me at IWC Warchief, and you can find me every other day or pretty freaking often on thechairshot.com writing articles or on an assortment of podcasts. And yeah, I think my email's up there somewhere on that site, that if you want to just say any fun, nasty things, just find it and email me. I'm not even going to plug it. So, Platt, where can they find you?
Well, what are you most looking forward to, sir?
Oh, me? My friends do a party every year, so we do a bet on the Rumble and draw numbers.
Nice.
So, honestly, it's going to be more just the camaraderie and the party aspect, and that's what I look forward to every year for Rumble. What about you?
I'm glad you brought that up, by the way. Everybody that's out here listening under the sound of my voice, get you 10 people together, okay? Everybody put $50 into the pot, all right? And out of the 10 people that put the $50 in the pot, you all draw three numbers out the hat. And whoever draws the winning number, i.e. the person that wins the Royal Rumble, from that number, you get the pot. That's a great way to draw interest to the Royal Rumble. Now, if you ain't got 50, 20 works as well. But 50 makes it a little more sweet. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Or you could do 25 apiece. You can do 25 for the women, 25 for the men. And since we do have that option now. But yeah, throw that
you
out there.
You and your high roller Royal gamblers. Rumble. Jesus Christ. I mean, my group
no, no.
10.
If you're a degenerate gambler.
Oh,
like,
okay, that's
fair. I'm trying to make it fun for them.
If you need a hotline but to call, that makes it, like maybe. But yeah, my group does $10. We're good on that.
We can't even do hotlines no more, man. Me and Gene passed away a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's true. I'm so mad.
There's no hotline. What are you going to call Lee Marshall? What the fuck is he up to?
I think, isn't Lee Marshall dead too?
Is he?
I think he is.
Damn it.
Do we call Mark Madden
man,
now?
RIP, man. We call Mark Madden now.
Tell
RIP Lee Marshall, man.
Tell the people where to find you. Let's get out of here before we have to call Mark Madden.
Okay, fair enough. RIP Lee Marshall, man. If you passed on, man, I didn't realize it. I apologize. You all can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. More importantly than that, make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot merch, please, and thank you. Thank you, and please. Thechairshot.com. It's not just a website, it's a movement. And I'm most looking forward to Sasha, my baby, versus Ronda Rousey. I think that has the opportunity to be the best match on the card because, you know, Ronda's coming along nicely, and she's been putting on great matches. I mean, hell, she had great matches with Nia Jax, and I feel like Sasha's the best wrestler she's actually been in the ring with. So I'm looking forward to them to putting on a highly entertaining match. Mr. Tunney, the commish, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me at PC Tunney. You can also listen to me on the DWI podcast right there on thechairshot.com. Find that at podcast DWI, and I'm looking forward to the one swerve that's going to happen this weekend. There's going to be one, gentlemen. There's going to be one. One thing you're not thinking could happen is going
to
happen.
Are you willing to give a place a bet out there and think or announce what you think that swerve may be?
Or are you holding it for DWI and you want people to listen to DWI?
A smart man would listen to the DWI podcast.
There we go. Listen to DWI for PC's big reveal. And I Googled it. Lee Marshall died in 2014 of esophageal cancer.
Damn, RIP Lee Marshall, man. Seriously. Also, but while we're plugging, man, make sure you guys tune in to myself and Mr. Ray Cash every Sunday on Chair Shot Radio. And this Sunday, we're actually going to have our live and in living color, so to speak, post Royal Rumble
in living color
round table and post show.
I'm
going to
get drunk
sure
and call
tune
you.
Into the post Royal Rumble.
Yeah, because I'm going to be on there drunk.
And give us a call.
If you guys don't open up with the Living Color theme, I'm going to be mad now.
I also
listen,
balls,
hey, balls,
they
can do what they want to do.
I'm actually glad you guys brought that up because I was going to ask you off air. But yeah, if you guys want to come on each and give us, 5 to 7 minutes, it'd be greatly appreciated. And it'd make my job a hell of a lot easier. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, for Andrew, don't call me Snowflake Balls Blast. For the commissioner, PC Tunney, make sure you guys tune into DWI as well this week. My name is Christopher Platt. Hey, guys, it's going to be a good week of wrestling. Enjoy TakeOver. Enjoy the Rumble. Just just enjoy being a wrestling fan and take your smart cap off for a minute and just have fun. This is the funnest time of the year, the funnest event of the year. Just enjoy it. Until next time, hit it, Carly.
Lights out!
Get the fuck back!
Something is wrong.
God's
we can't
it's
stand.
A-